Let's pray. Almighty God, we have heard your word, and your word soothes our hearts. Your word encourages us. Help us, Lord, as you said this morning in your collect, help us to hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your word, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed, confident expectation of everlasting life. I pray this morning that you would forgive me my sins. They are many. We have come here to hear from you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So before we get started, I want to point out a couple of things to you, especially those of you who are hymn and Messiah aficionados. Is this one slightly darker than the other? Are you guys kind of in the dark? Do you feel like that? Okay, hopefully. Okay, so next year we'll have to have another tree over there to balance it off. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I just stay out of those things. You have some very interesting things here this morning. In Isaiah, you have three different songs that come out of Isaiah. The first song is in the Messiah, and it's "Comfort ye my people." And it's right there at the first verse of chapter 40. The second one is "Every valley shall be lifted up." That's one of my favorite recitatives. I'm convinced George Handel was a tenor because he gave the tenors all the best ones. And then, I'll bet you didn't know this was a scriptural hymn. "Go Tell It on the Mountain." It's right there. Verse 9, chapter 40. "Go up to a mountain high, O Zion, herald of good news. Go up, tell it on the mountain." How about that? So we have all of those there for us. Okay, let's move on. So this morning, I got a lot of paper up here. It's beginning to look like my desk. I know. Haven't any of you that have ever seen my desk, you're going, "Heaven forbid." Okay. This morning we begin a series on "Do you hear what I hear?" It's an interesting question that we begin with, because the first verse is, "Do you see what I see?" Have you ever wondered about that question? Have you ever wondered that what you see is the same thing that others see? Do you see the purple candles in a little different way, a little different purple than somebody else? How do you know? I don't know how you know. What about the colors being more vivid? Or a sunset or a sunrise? When you look at someone, do you think that somebody else sees them the same way you do? Now, we know from social science research that eyewitness accounts are not as reliable as once we thought. There's this wonderful study that's shown in a picture of a class. It's a law school class. And the professor is talking and expounding upon something really erudite, and a gorilla comes in and walks across the front of the classroom and walks out. All the students, you know, thinking somebody's played a prank on the professor. The professor says, "Okay, stop immediately. Something has happened. Write down what you saw." And you would be amazed how many people wrote different things. What's even more amazing is the number of people who didn't see anything. What gorilla? In TV dramas, we often hear the investigators as they talk about their case. They'll say, you know, we have a reliable eyewitness, open and shut. Well, eyewitness accounts, as I just said, aren't as reliable as we thought. Perry Mason used to love to hear that. Perry Mason was my hero, by the way, growing up. I wanted to be like Perry Mason. And he would cross-examine this reliable witness. He'd say, well, how far were you standing when you saw this? Oh, about 100 feet. And you could tell they had blue eyes. And what was the time of day? It was probably dusk, maybe just starting to turn dark. They're getting a little more hesitant about their testimony. And he'd say, and it is my understanding that you wear glasses as you do up on the stand today. He said, yes. And do you need the glasses to see distance or to read? Or to see the rain? And then the guy goes, well, I have two different sets of glasses. And I have a set to read and I have a set to see distances. And which pair of glasses were you wearing that evening when you saw this person commit this crime? Well, I wasn't wearing my glasses at all because all I did was go out to take the trash to the road and I didn't think I'd need them. You see, there are all sorts of things that affect what we see. Now, I happen to have my computer glasses on. I don't need glasses to read because I can read without them. But I do need them for my computer, and I have different glasses that I use to be able to see distances. There's all sorts of things that affect our reliability, but it does really help when there are multiple witnesses involved. According to Old Testament law, it requires more than one witness to bring a conviction. Did you know that? God said that. Numbers 35:30. Anyone who kills a person is to be put to death as a murderer only on the testimony of witnesses. But no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Deuteronomy 17:6. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a person is to be put to death, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Then in Joshua, when Joshua says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, what about you? And they said, we will serve the Lord. And he said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses. They are witnesses to one another. I was standing beside Mike and he said, yes, I will serve the Lord. And I am a witness and he is a witness. And Leslie is a witness because she heard it and she said it. And so the whole group is a witness to one another. We also know that people bring their own biases, their own environment, their own life issues to the way they see things. So someone who doesn't believe in angels may try to come up with any variety of explanations when they've encountered one. Oh, it was a hallucination. I had mushrooms for dinner. Or they'll say, I was traumatized. And when I settled down, I realized that I probably hadn't seen what I thought that I had seen. Someone who doesn't believe in miracles will search to find an answer, a rational answer. And yet we know, because of our prayer in this church, that there have been miracles that we have been allowed to be a part of. God does do miracles even today. So, with that as introduction, the first part of the song, Do You Hear What I Hear, is as follows. Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Interesting. What did the night wind see? Can the night wind see? Can the night wind speak to a little lamb? Can a little lamb understand? Can a little lamb understand the night wind? And do they both see the same thing? Well, I sat down and I put answers to those questions. A star? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I wanted to be answered honest with you about this. And as I answered those questions, I thought, well, you know something? This idea of using this song as the basis for a sermon may be absurd. I may need to figure out something else. But there's a problem with that, because I felt early on, back in November, I felt like this is what I was supposed to do. And giving up would be to fail. So I'll give it a try. Let's dig in. First, what's all this about a star? Well, we have to look at Matthew for the answer to that. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, that's the first book in the New Testament, the last time I checked, and look at chapter 2, which means you don't have to go too far in that book. And it says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now, we're all familiar with that passage. But I don't know that you're familiar with how that gets there. How do they know? Well, one answer could be because they're magi. They are astronomers and would notice when a new star appears. But they were more than astronomers. They were religious experts, people who were called magi, and that was not that unusual of a term in the ancient Near East. People who were called magi were also religious experts, knowing all of the religions of the ancient Near East. Thus, they would have been familiar with Judaism and with its writings. It was recognized in the ancient Near East, even though it was not accepted mostly by non-Jews, but yet they held a certain reverence for the fact that they had these books. So if we now turn to Numbers, a little harder to find, but it is in the front of your Bible. Numbers 24, verse 17. So you go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. And it says this, I see him now, I see him, but not now. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star, the Hebrew is kokaf. It will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Now, you might think that this prophecy is by some very wise prophet of God, and it was, but he wasn't a Jew. At least to our knowledge, he wasn't. He was Jewish in his religion, but he was not a part of the nation of Israel. The prophecy is from Balaam, when he was before Balak. I love saying that name, Balak, who wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And yes, it is that same Balaam whose donkey saved his life, telling us that donkeys can, in fact, speak. Of course, I knew that because I saw all of the Francis the Talking Mule movies. Do you know who starred in that? Donald O'Connor, a very young Donald O'Connor. Okay, but that's for a different time. This verse is part of the fourth oracle or prophecy. Now, notice that Balaam is saying, I don't see him now. It's not a current prophecy. It's not something for the people of the time to answer at that point. It is different. This is something in the far future. Now, given that this is Numbers, it's the far, far future. Remember, Numbers, the Israelites have just come out of Egypt. So when? Well, when a star comes out of Jacob. And who will he be? He'll be the king of the Jews. How do we know that? A scepter will rise out of Israel. What do kings receive when they are coronated? Coronated? Yeah, when they're coronated. They get a scepter, right? I know all of you got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch the coronation of Charles. Anyway, that's a scepter. It will rise out of Israel. That means the king of the Jews. This is a special star. The Magi knew what they were saying because they had seen this prophecy. But you know what they hadn't seen? And this is for later on, but they hadn't seen where. Remember, they'll get that from Herod's advisors. Second, not only do we need to know what all this is about the star, we need to know why does the night wind know about the star? That's a good question. And you're saying, well, of course, Steve, that's easy. Okay, well, then I won't answer it. When does one see the stars? This is not a trick question. The answer isn't Jesus. At night. You see the stars at night, right? The further you get away from the ambient light all around us, the more you see the stars. At night, it makes them easier to notice. Is it possible that this star was one that hadn't been seen before? Yes, that's what we're told. And that this star danced in the night. Now, that's a metaphor. It didn't mean it was dancing. Careful, I have two left feet. So it doesn't mean it was dancing. It means it was moving. That's different than most of the stars. Most of the stars, you don't see them move. And one of the things that made it particularly visible was that it had a tail as big as a kite. Now, let me use my own simile for this to tell you a more modern example. I'm old enough to remember when Russia launched Sputnik. Sputnik, it was the first satellite, and America was very afraid until we launched our own. And I don't recall that we named it like they did, Sputnik, but we should have given it some name like, I don't know, Jehoshaphat or something. Anyway, we didn't. But we were so proud of it that the newspapers listed the times and locations where you could see the satellite at night. You couldn't see it during the day. You could see it at night. So I think it was both my mom and dad went out with me, and I think my sister went as well. I'll have to check with her, but she probably won't remember. And we watched. We were told it would look like a star, but we would distinguish it from the star because it moved. It moved across the sky. Just like some of you may have gone out and watched the International Space Station when we hear that it'll be seen from here. You can watch the space station. You see, it looks like a star. But the other thing that was interesting is because when it moved, at least the satellite then, I haven't noticed about the International Space Station because I don't rush out to watch it. Isn't that sad? We don't do that anymore. But when I went out to watch it, it did have like this trailing tail because of its movement. How about a tail as big as a kite? By the way, do people still fly kites? They do? Okay. Okay. Good. I like flying kites. Third, not only do we need to know what's all about this star, not only do we need to know why the night wind knows about the star, why is the star being seen so important? Let me take you to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah, the easiest way to find it is go to the middle. That's Psalms. And then flip over a few more books and you'll find Isaiah. And you can't miss it because it's so large, you're going to be in it for a while. But I'm going to ask you to look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And it says this. This is Isaiah speaking. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Notice that the Lord always used correct grammar. And who will go for us? Ooh, I got to take a quick side road here. Who will go for us? How often have I told you that you see the Trinity even in the Old Testament? Well, here's another example. Somebody asked you. There it is. Because who will go for us? In the Hebrew, it's Yilech and Lachnu. Lachnu. Lilech means who will go? Who will go? Lachnu is plural, meaning go for us. Not me, singular, us, plural, the Trinity. Back to the main road. I said, that's back to Isaiah talking, here I am, send me. Now, I think Isaiah was a man of much more courage than I would be. Because I think he answers far too fast. I'd want a little more of the detail that goes with this assignment that he's asked. I think he was a little overstimulated by seeing God and living after he sees him. The task he's being assigned, should he agree to accept it, is to tell Judah to not understand what they see. Don't understand it. Don't look at it. Don't try and figure it out. In chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, God says, go and tell this people, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Can't you see that in a school where teacher's talking and he's saying, well, I'm going to show you this formula, but I don't want you to look at it too close. I don't want you to understand it. But it'll be on the test. But I don't want you to understand it. You know, that would be kind of ugh. No, that's what God is saying. He says, make the heart of these people calloused and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Isaiah was prophesying the utter destruction of the land and the people for their ever persistent, never ending rejection of God. Do not forget that, people. You may be saved. And yes, you are assured, you have a confident expectation of eternal life. But that's not meaning that God's not going to blow the whistle and say, everybody out of the pool. You saw in Peter today a discussion of the destruction of the earth. There are consequences to our actions. You can't be saved and then say, okay, I'm going to tiptoe through the tulips and do all the sinning I want because I'm saved and I'm in. Then verses 11 and 12 describe this assignment. Then I said, for how long, Lord? Now, I would have said that before I said, send me. I don't think that's what Isaiah didn't. How long? And God answers, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. Oh. Okay. How many people saw this star but didn't know what they were seeing? Probably a lot. They probably didn't know the prophecy in Numbers, and certainly they were confused because Israel was basically, utterly destroyed during the Assyrian and Babylonian assaults, and then they were taken into exile, and they were scattered around the world. A lot of people probably. The other thing is that the Persians, by the way, weren't the only ones that had magi, as I mentioned earlier. So there may have been some astronomers in Judah in the first century, and certainly you would think that the Romans had astronomers, because they had engineers who could design bridges to span rivers. Some of those still stand today, 2,000 years later. That's pretty good work. Or were a lot of these other people, these other astronomers and the people of Israel, just not seeing? They were seeing, but not perceiving. Now, it's important to the night wind that someone else saw it as well, because one witness is not enough. It requires two. So when I looked at this, I thought, why would the night wind choose to ask a lamb if he could see what it saw? I'll leave that for you to pray about.